Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this episode of the Prairie Track and Field Podcast. We really appreciate all your support. But without further ado, let's dive into our latest episode. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Prairie Track and Field Podcast. I'm your host, Ryan Enerson.
I'm your other host, Cameron Rao.
Cam, it has been our most consistent couple weeks since, I don't know when, for a long time, but it's good to see
two
you.
Two episodes in a row.
Two episodes in a row, yeah.
Yeah.
Don't call it a comeback quite yet. I was thinking about, I got a story tied to it, but keep the ball rolling, you know, true Tin Man talk.
Yeah.
So my story behind that is I was at a grad party today, first one of the season. Very tasty burritos is what they had for their food. And there was a kid who's probably one of the top runners at the high school that I helped coach at. And he's going to run at Colorado Christian next year. And I was talking to him about going to Colorado Christian and asked if he's going to run on Mags, right? The big road in Boulder that all the pro runners go on. And he's like, dude, what's that? It's like, oh man. And I was like, well, you know, Tin Man Elite, right? He goes, no. I was like, bro, come on. So I had explained to him who Tin Man Elite was. His ears perked when I was like, Reed Fisher is a Drake guy. So that was good. Got his attention. And then I sent him one of their Magnolia Roads videos. But it was like one of their OG videos that is so good. You know, their content now is good, but just not quite what it was.
Yeah. OG Tin Man stuff just hit, like, it was so unique and so needed at the time that it came out, and probably at the time of our life and our like track and field fandom and where we were as like competitors and stuff like that. It's I should just go back and forget Netflix. I'm going to binge watch old Tin Man Elite videos next weekend.
Yeah, dude, that like now there's a lot of, I shouldn't say a lot because I feel like there could still be more, but you know, a lot of runners have vlogs now. A lot of runners are filming what they're doing or have social media teams pumping out content for them. But yeah, that was kind of grassroots, like on their own, just a buddy with a camera. And they did some really cool stuff there.
Yeah, it kind of captured exactly what I wanted and how I wanted, you know, distance running to be covered at the time. So, and I mean, they're still doing it to this day. It's a little different because I think they, you know, they're obviously getting quite a bit better in terms of like their competition level. So anyway, we don't have to make this a Tin Man Elite episode, but.
This is the Prairie Track and Field Podcast.
Yeah.
And so we're going to talk about something that's much overdue, and that's the high school season. You know, it's kind of what we started on, right? Like after we interviewed a lot of the legends of North Dakota, we kind of grew a little bit more when we started talking and covering high school track, and those guys are and gals are in college now, but I feel like we need to do our best effort to cover the current high school season. So it was a big weekend for them with Howard Wood down in Sioux Falls. And Cam, you and I were both paying attention to results, but you found some things that I hadn't been really keen on, or some fun details that I hadn't heard yet. So I'm going to let you choose. This is your adventure. Where are we starting?
Choose your own adventure. Yeah. I mean, I think one of the best places to start is the 2 mile. It's become kind of the premier, you know, opportunity for kids in the upper Midwest to really go after, you know, stellar times in the 2 mile. And, you know, for quite a few years, you know, we've seen that. I remember all the way, I've probably told this story before, but first time I was at Howard Wood, I was running the college 5K my freshman year. And before us, they had the high school boys and girls 2 mile. And I saw Joe Klecker run sub 9 in the 2 mile, which was just like outrageous to see happen. And I was thinking about it before my race. I was like, dang, that guy is way better. That guy is way better than me.
Yeah.
I know I'm only a year older than him, but I felt like I should have been significantly better because I was in college and he was still in high school. But all that to say, I mean, he's an Olympian now. So, I mean, I guess that kind of makes sense. But to this year's edition of the 2 mile, saw very strong North Dakota presence. North Dakota athletes went 1, 2, 3, 5, and 8. Oh, 8 and 9. Owen Johnson. We'll give Owen Johnson Northern Cass, shout out the sophomore. We'll start from 9 and go back up. But Owen Johnson, Northern Cass, sophomore, 9:23 in the 2 mile. That's only like a second slower than what I ran in high school for my, that's just from my own perspective. So, and sophomore, so he's cooking. Right ahead of him, Elijah Dayfall, Red River, 9:22:15. Ryan, I believe you're saying that that would have been under the previous Red River school record.
Yes.
So Elijah Dayfall, you'd think at this point, oh, he's the new Red River school record holder. Hold your horses, Joe Quinn, the junior from Red River, 9:19 for 5th place. And then as we go up the results here, the brothers Owen Hintz and Parker Hintz, 2:03, 9:16 for Parker and 9:18 for Owen. Parker the senior and Owen the sophomore. I made a comment in our like state recap episode last year when the Goss brothers of Devil's Lake, I forget what times they ran, but I think I tweeted something out, has there ever been two brothers who've run faster, at the state meet in the 2 mile? And somebody responded, it was probably Nate Peterson, said, I don't think so, but just wait until next year. Watch out for the Hintz brothers. So if they can replicate that times, the race that they did at Howardwood, obviously something, pretty impressive at the state meet from those two from pair of brothers. But winning the race, Owen Sondag, your cross country state champion, 9:10:09. So just, I mean, really good running, really good competing, first and foremost, out of the North Dakota guys, really showing that they're kind of the cream of the crop right now in the upper Midwest in the Red River Valley. So that was the first thing that stuck out to me. Kind of pivot from the distance and go to the throws.
Let me just add one last thing on
Yeah,
that
go
two
for it.
mile. So, for the Red River boys, just some perspective. Yeah, but would have been a new school record for Elijah Dayfoe by quite a bit. So the previous record was Hunter McHenry from 9:25 back in 2022, and he crushed it. But then Joe Quinn absolutely smashed that record. So
Yeah.
love to see that. And before that, that record was held by the legendary Claude Smith, who was just kind of this urban legend in the Red River. Every year we'd get a track booklet with records and names, and Claude Smith was always kind of this myth of a person. And so that record was long standing for him, and now it's changed hands a few times, but great racing by them. And I'm question for you. We still have 3 weeks of the season left, like at state, Howard Wood is obviously a big meet. You got some adrenaline and
Yeah.
some intensity that you're not going to find at your weekly tune-up meet. But do you think the state meet can match those same expectations and they'll run faster? Or is Howard Wood kind of like the premier, the environment's right, the weather's right, everything just came together and that was it?
Yeah, I mean, they'll for sure have like the fitness and the capability to run that fast again. Sounds cliche, but it's probably, especially for like Owen, the two Owens and Parker, I would guess they were going into Howard Wood with a fast time in mind, wanted to win the race, but like that wasn't really, I don't think they have pacers, but probably had talked about, there's a good chance they had talked about pacing before. Hey, we want to hit this time, we're going to go out at this pace. But I would imagine come state meet, there's not going to be much friendly pre-race banter. And each one of those guys is going to come up with the strategy for best way to win the race. So, I mean, we have seen Owen, last year, Kind of go to the front. Him and Quinn push strong from the beginning. So it kind of seems like his favored strategy is to run from the front. So I wouldn't be surprised if we do see, if the weather's right and everything, we do see fast times again. I think it's going to be tough to replicate. What was that, 3, 4 years ago? We had multiple guys go sub nine at state in the 2 mile. I just think, that year they had like five or six guys who would run under 9:10 going into the state meet. And so, we have three super solid guys. To be honest, don't know what the rest of the state looks like, but four guys under 9:20, Elijah Dafoe right there, 9:22.
It might
I
be
don't know,
good.
could
Might line up. Might be good.
yeah, it might, like you said, still a lot of time, still conference meets to come, and we'll just have to. I don't know. This has gotten me. Like, I mean, we last episode we kind of were pretty open about how we haven't been following, track at any level as much as this season as we have in the past. But that race for sure kind of like got me, woke me back up. I'm like, okay, there. Here's a storyline that I want to follow. So. So, one other, the next kind of event that kind of woke me up, I guess you could say, kind of made me realize, well, shoot, I should have heard about this guy, before, but I'm glad I heard about him now. Ethan Thomas, from Grand Forks Central. He won the shot put at Howard Wood, school record throw, 62 feet, 1/4 inch. Just an absolute bomb. Just an absolute bomb. The interesting thing that I saw about it, though, not only was it a Grand Forks Central school record by almost 2.5 feet, but it was a Grand Forks record. So if people aren't aware, Grand Forks Central and Grand Forks Red River kind of are, they share a coach, Ryan. Is that, their
It's
coach,
like on the
the
throw side,
programs
it's
are
like a
kind of combined,
combined program on the throw side.
So they share coaches, they share facilities, they do practice together, everything like that. And it's been that way for as long as I can remember. So there's also like a Grand Forks, throws record. So Ethan Thomas, the previous Grand Forks throws record was Mark Murdoch from Red River, 61 feet 9 inches, and that was set in 1992. And we've talked about kind of throwers. We see it in the javelin, I think, is maybe the biggest place that we've seen athletes come out of Grand Forks in the throws. But there've been we've talked about Brian Bierk and some others from the throws. So to be the best out of all the throwers that have come through the Grand Forks throws program, Ethan Thomas, good athlete, good athlete. And he'll be going to NDSU next, or sorry, UND next year. My bad. So we'll get to see him and follow him in the Summit League.
Nice. Yeah, dude, that was almost a pretty big slip up there. But did you watch the Kentucky Derby yesterday?
No, I didn't.
Yesterday in the Kentucky Derby, they do like a riders up call. And so it's literally just someone grabs the mic and they go, "Riders up." And then there's like some fluff before that, and it's like the Commonwealth of Kentucky or something. And it was Martha Stewart. She said Connecticut instead of Kentucky. So you almost just like NDSU for UND, you almost just did that, just not in front of, a 250,000 people.
Yes. Oh man. Yeah. I'm glad I caught it. Glad I caught it. I'd never hear the end of
Oh man.
that.
All right, I got a few things that stood out to me from Howard Wood, and part of it is just me being a townie and also paying attention to Red River socials a little bit more. But Red River won the mixed 4x4 relay, and it was the first relay title from Howard Wood in school history. But I just think that's so cool that they have the opportunity to run the mixed relay. And I know at the pro level, like at World Athletics and World Championships, there's like it gets a little heat. It's like this is a dumb event, like there's so many better events you could have instead of a mixed 4x4, but I think it's just so neat to see like the depth of a team, right? You got to have the guys and the girls. And I was thinking too, Drake Relays has got to do something different to like get people's attention. And I think if they should follow suit, add a mixed 4x4, and then at that point of the season, nobody else runs it, so you could always say you have the world lead, right?
Yeah,
And
yeah.
whatnot. So anyway, I just thought that was cool, and I wanted to give it a shout out. And the other thing too, this is just kind of in general, like this isn't necessarily Howard Wood because they didn't perform super well there, but someone that we got to keep our eyes on, if it was the distance that woke you up a little bit and made you pay attention, for me it's the Bismarck sprinters this year. And if you remember in 2023, it was the Legacy Sprint Quartet, right? Those guys were just crushing and setting state records left and right, and Bismarck is not too far behind them. So Legacy ran 41:50 for 4x1 last year. Now, granted, they were probably a little bit more stacked in that 4x2. But Bismarck earlier this season ran 41:62, and they won Howard Wood, not as fast, but that's who is kind of turning my attention, is the sprints, which is so cool because, traditionally North Dakota has had fast guys here and there, but I feel like that's several seasons in a row now where it's kind of like compound interest. We're
Yeah.
seeing faster and faster times and more guys running fast. So that was that's something that really stood out to me as far as cool Howard Wood results. And I think you had one more, as I'm looking for one more thing here as well. 110 hurdles on the guy's side, right? There was something that stood out.
Yeah. Yeah, Fargo North athlete Trey Noki. Hope I'm saying that right.
I would probably
He ran
Kenoki.
14. Noki ran 14:38 in the 110 hurdles. From what I can see here, that's the North Dakota all-time number 9 time in the 110 hurdles, and a Fargo North school record. So, really, I mean, great performances, across all events, throws, distance, sprints, like you said, relays. Give a couple more, relay shout outs here. It's like Biz Century relay titles in the 4x8, 4x2, DMR, 4x4. So, I mean, keep your eye on the Pats of Biz Century, and then 4x8 for the Class B boys at Bowman. They ran 8 flat, which is
Thing.
pretty dirty.
Yeah.
To get, to get 4 guys, kind of, there's a joke I've been seeing around socials that says, oh yeah, we ran, how's it go? Oh, we ran 8 flat in the 4x8, but everybody split a 159. It's kind of, everybody likes to dog on relay splits. Your relay split isn't your PR, but the relay time of 8 flat for those Bowman Bulldogs. Great job for those guys. So it looks like that was winners in their division of the Class A relay champs for Dakota Relays for them too. So
For sure.
that's, I
And
mean, that's just more of the same. This is more of the same from Bowman. It's next man up, win another relay title. Nothing.
nothing new. I want to give another shout out in the relays. Girls 4x1s, North Dakota kind of showed up. I would say traditionally this is an event where the Sioux Falls schools kind of dominate, but girls 4x1 this year, Dickinson placed second on the women's side, West Fargo Cheyenne third, Bismarck Century fifth, Davies going seventh. And that Dickinson crew earlier this season, they ran the eighth fastest time in state Class A history on the girls' side of things. So, yeah, man, it's like you were saying, if we weren't paying attention before, we are now, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, Cam, anything else you want to touch on real quick before we keep moving?
mean, of the things that I saw on Twitter or X or whatever you want to call it these days, those are kind of the things that stood out to me. I'm sure there are a bunch more great performances that we'll continue to see pop up throughout the week, and then as we get into conference and state meet time, the storylines and the times and the competition will keep building. So, and we'll keep watching. But I think now would be a good time where we can transition to what we have going on this upcoming weekend, Ryan.
For sure. Hey, I might throw one last thing in here.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
One last one. As I was scrolling, I was like, I think there's one more thing I was going to talk about. It there is. Boys 100, Jaron McNichols goes 10:45 for Bismarck High, tied for number two all time
Okay.
in North Dakota history. He's tied with Caleb Larson now, former Legacy Prep, and they're just a hundredth of a second behind Weston Dressler. So, who I just saw is getting inducted to the Canadian Football League Hall of Fame.
Yeah,
So,
dude, I just saw that too.
elite company.
Crazy.
So, all right, I'm ready to transition to the Summit Leagues now. So, just give us a little background. Where are we going to be this weekend? Kind of schedule what our role looks like, and yeah.
Yeah, I mean, so for those that aren't aware, this year's version edition of the Summit League Outdoor Track and Field Championships is going to be hosted in St. Paul by St. Thomas University. So we're fortunate enough that we got invited to come down and be a part of the live stream, the video broadcast for the weekend. So myself and your brother Tyler will be down there starting on Thursday with the multi-events and the 10K, and I believe the javelin is Thursday as well. Yeah, okay. So me and Tyler will be covering those events on Thursday. Ryan, you'll come and join us on Friday when we'll see, prelims of most events and the steeplechase final. And then, of course, Saturday finals from the beginning. Every event has final that day. So, it'll be exciting to see, kind of how the storylines change. You had a couple events change from indoors. And so the team scoring kind of shifts, or at least historically has shifted, in favor of certain teams because of stronger performances in the javelin and like the 400 hurdles and stuff like that that you don't have indoors. But, I think we kind of got a little bit of a preview of what we're going to see in some of the kind of off events. Like the relays, like USD women are looking super strong in the relays, just like they were during indoor. So maybe we'll get more into specifics here of kind of events that we're looking at if you have anything, Ryan. But yeah, we're overall, just kind of big picture, we're excited to be down there, excited to be covering the championships again. Had a meeting with everybody involved at St. Thomas, and seems like they've done a lot of planning and put in a lot of work. So we're really hopeful that it's going to be a good broadcast, and hopefully you, Ryan, and myself and Tyler can add some good value to the championship experience for everybody and for the fans at home if you're not able to make it, or even if you're there and you want to tune in to hear what ridiculous things we have to say, hop on the live stream, and we'll be there all weekend. So
For sure. I think just a couple things that go into the championships. NDSU is redshirting a lot of guys on the men's side. So, those some of those performances that we've seen in the past where you got, just domination in the field events and they're so deep. They got a lot of heavy hitters that are gonna be watching from the sidelines. So that is gonna be a lot different. And it's going to be kind of some younger guys stepping up, and they've had that throughout the season. Like Ethan Moe is the league leader in the 800 and the 1500, true freshman. So like they're going to need a lot of big performances like that. And I think on the women's side, we saw a really tight race indoors. I mean, the men's was too, but the women USD is looking good, and they've got some names that have just been around forever, right? JC Pulse, Aaron Kinney, Sarah Ravenrath. They're people that have had some really good championship experiences before. And, if you're USD, like you won indoors last year, you won cross country this fall on the women's side. Like, it's been a little bit since they've won an outdoor title. So they're going to do everything they can. And I got to catch up with Lucky Huber, head coach of USD at Drake Relays, just for a moment. And, I said, team's looking really good. Girls are looking good. And he said, yeah, like we got to beat the team up north. So they know it's a goal of theirs. But if they have the athletes to do it, this might be the time.
Yeah, absolutely. I was just kind of scrolling through a couple other events that I'm excited to watch, and obviously I never try and hide my bias to the distance events, but especially to the steeplechase. I think that's going to be both on the men's and the women's sides one of the most exciting events to watch this weekend. On the men's side, Luke Labette of North Dakota, the senior, he's run 8:38:25 so far this season, lowering his school record that currently ranks him ninth in the West region. For the men's steeplechase, the next closest is Cody Larson, 8:52. So a fair ways back from Labette, but I haven't looked at any of the other events that closely, but I would have to think that ninth in the region is one of the highest regional ranking performances in the Summit League. If you look at the other events, maybe in the pole vault. I know USD has had top tier pole vaulters in the region, but to be top 10 in the region, have a top 10 regional athlete in his event competing, at the Summit League Championships, that's going to be exciting to watch him. But it'll be a battle. My prediction is that Luke will kind of run away from it. He'll be able to run that race in whatever way he wants. If he wants to run it hard and run away, or sit around and maybe kick away. But behind him, so Cody Larson, 8:52, Josh Becker, South Dakota State, 8:55, Jake Arison, 8:57. So tight for those final two podium spots between those three. Fifth place right there, Peyton Smith of North Dakota State. Oh man, I don't know if he's broken nine, but I know last season he is a 8:58. At his best, he's a sub nine steeplechase performer as well. A little banged up earlier in the season, but that time that he ran there just came from last weekend, all alone, soloing it at the NDSU tune-up. So put him in a more competitive race conditions, you'd have to imagine that he feels like he can mix it up with those other four athletes. For those final two podium spots. Touching a little bit on the women's steeplechase here. Again, my investment in this one is a little bit, I got a little bit of bias. My sister, Alexis Rail, is ranked third right now in the Summit League. But the gap between first, Jaden Keeler, 10:35, Frida Giesdorf of also of North Dakota, 10:40, and then Alexis Trail, 10:40. So tight between those three. Would not be surprised if that is a battle to the last lap between those three, kind of changing position, battling for position. Who knows what sort of tactics will come between those three. But I'm, as always, we're not the rule, we're not the law. We've been wrong countless times before. I don't know, that's why you're on the race, right, Ryan?
Right.
These times don't mean anything. They're just kind of a helpful guide for us. So
Yep. I think, we obviously focus on the Dakota schools a lot, but I want to kind of dive into some guys that are going to be busy. And, my bias is the decathlon, but it's not any Dakota school. It's actually St. Thomas.
yes,
So
sir.
these guys are going to be busy. We saw Nate Raditz last year. He won the decathlon outdoors, had a pretty big PR in the making. And then went on, he hurdled, he long jumped, he threw javelin. Like those guys get loaded up at the conference meet. But he's got a teammate is coming back. Jack Rosner, from my understanding, had some injuries in the indoor season, so didn't get to compete indoors. But between Raddatz and Rosner, and word on the street at one point was Sam May, our 2023 heptathlon champion, was hoping to come back this outdoor season too, off a torn ACL, and maybe he doesn't have a time or a decathlon score on Tiefers right now, but I'm wondering if he might make his debut at conference in that event. And right now, Rosner and Raddatz are 2-1 in the Summit League, league leaders. And Rosner's also on the St. Thomas league leading 4x4 right now. They've ran 312 this season. So, those guys are gonna be
And
busy. I'll be watching them, but I just like the versatility of those guys. And it's not just the traditional multi, right? You do the whole deck and then like you high jump. Like these guys are coming back and doing hard events, like hopping on a 4x4 at the very end of the meet. And some of these more taxing ones. So I'm excited to see how strategic St. Thomas is in balancing. Yes, we want to score a lot of points in the deck, but also we know these guys are so valuable for us in other events. Where do we put them and how do we use them efficiently?
yeah, man, I was just scrolling past too. Rosner also second in the league in the 110 hurdles. So dude's got range, and I mean, talking about athletes who, where do you choose to put them? They can score in the multis or the individual events. People are maybe tired of hearing us talk about her, but Nell Graham, Ryan, a couple weeks back, she ran 209 in the open 800. That puts her top in the Summit League right now. So I think maybe we talked about this last week. I can't remember. Maybe it was just you and I having a conversation. It's like, what does Stevie Keller do with Nell Graham? Does he put her in the open events? She's run the four hurdles. She's the league leader in the 400 right now, 52, 57. Like, I don't know. I'm sure glad I don't have to make that decision. But she
Yeah.
can't do everything, right?
Well, that's what we thought last year. And then she won a lot of titles at the Summit League Championships. But no, I think it's gonna be hard. Like if I'm, they've tried to balance it for so long, right? Do the multi, do some individual events. But Nell is sitting so high right now in the region in some of these open events, like the 400 and you got to run a lot faster than 209 to probably get to regions, but spot on the 4x4, 400 hurdles, she qualified for regions last year. So, she could still run like 5 400s and still, do a few more open events. We'll have to see. But if I was a betting man, I don't think we're gonna see Nell Graham in the heptathlon. I have zero insight. I don't know if that's true. For the viewer's sake, I hope we're wrong, but I'm kind of thinking that maybe we'll just see her loaded up in a lot of different ways this time around.
And that's tough. I mean, she's probably used to it. I mean, if she did the multi, she would have to, do multiple events anyways. But man, just thinking if she's like in the four, in the eight, trying to do double prelims on Friday and then double finals, on Saturday,
I
a
think
lot of,
that's the hardest double, 4 and 8. Like
yeah, no doubt.
even the distance events, I know there's a lot of ways that you can get loaded up and make those really difficult on yourself too. But like the 4 and 8, there's no downtime. Like you are the prelims aren't too far apart from each other. The finals aren't too far apart from each other, and they're frankly very fast. Maybe a few years ago when the demands of the Summit League weren't as taxing, but to make the finals, you've got to cook in prelims.
Right. I mean, if you're thinking like strategically from a team point standpoint, all you really need is a really stellar prelim race, make the final, and you're guaranteed to score points. Obviously, as an individual competitor, that's probably not the way you want to look at things. You want to be at your best, for the final. But Yeah, so Nell Graham is ranked 17th in the 400 in the region right now. So, I would imagine that it's not a situation where she needs to focus on the 400. We want her to be, fresh for the 400 to make sure that she gets that regional, spot. I think she's, pretty much locked that up there. So, I think if we think back to our interview that we had with Nell Graham a couple of years ago, I think she would choose not to do the 800 if it was up to her.
Yeah, like I said, 800, that's just a tough race. And combined with all the other events she's going to be expected to do, I don't blame her. I don't blame her. But, well, Cam, as far as high school recap of Howard Wood and Summit League preview a little bit, I'm super excited to be in the booth with you, but also excited that we're able to get some more content for our listeners because it's been a great season. It's not from lack of good performances that we haven't been from the behind the mic. So we were due to touch on all of it. And if you're still listening, we really appreciate it. And we hope that you stick around next week when we recap it all, the Summit League championships and other college conference performances. And maybe we'll even touch on the pros. Peyton Otterdahl still throwing really well through a new outdoor PR yesterday in Arizona. And we'll hopefully keep the ball rolling, right? All the way back to our Tin Man talk at the beginning, but
Full circle.
full circle moment. All right. Thanks so much for listening. We hope to see you on the broadcast at St. Thomas, and we'll talk to you soon.